You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
So we're on Capitol Hill. We're going to be joined by United States Senator Maggie Hassan here on the show. Certainly a lot of things to discuss right now going on today. Ambassador John Huntsman, he is testifying on the Hill. And obviously, health care is first and foremost. The president speaking in front of the UN General Assembly in New York. But we'll start with health care, in fact. And this is a very interesting time because there's three bills that are being discussed. And the one that seems to have the most momentum is Graham Cassidy. And I'm curious as to what you think about the bill and the impacts that it would have on Granite Staters.
Well, first of all, it's really clear that we need to come together and work across party lines to improve on the Affordable Care Act and really work on reducing the high cost of health care, which is squeezing so many Granite State families and so many Americans. I am really concerned that the Graham Cassidy bill is just a rehash of the bill, the so-called skinny repeal bill that was defeated in the Senate just a couple of months ago. And Graham Cassidy would undermine the protections in the Affordable Care Act. If they would bring back pre-existing conditions, they would eliminate, it would eliminate the Medicaid program as we know it. We've heard from governors across the country of both parties, including Governors Baker and now Governor Sununu, that it would be bad for their states. It would cost New Hampshire close to $500 million by 2026 in Medicaid funding, which impacts people with disabilities, people in nursing homes, and would really impact our ability to fight the heroin, opioid, and fentanyl crisis. So I'm really concerned about the bill. People need to take it very seriously. The American public has spoken loudly and clearly that they want us to come together and work on bipartisan solutions, which is what many of us on the HELP Committee have been doing for the last several weeks. And I am very concerned that this last-minute partisan effort behind Graham Cassidy really goes against what the American people are telling us they want us to do.
One of the points that I've been making on the show is that I think that Democrats were misguided in pushing Medicare for All and putting that into the forefront of the conversation, because I agree with you that there needs to be a bipartisan solution. There's the Lamar Alexander, Patty Murray bill, which presents that. And I feel that Democrats wasted a lot of the oxygen in focusing on the Medicare aspect, which is a good conversation, a conversation that needs to happen, but it's not going to happen. Medicare for All is not going to happen right now. It's a conversation of 2018, perhaps 2020. You obviously split with our next guest on the program, Senator Shaheen, on this. Why did you do that? And do you feel that Democrats should have focused more on what's doable now as opposed to what may be the discussion down the line?
Well, as a member of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, or HELP Committee, I'm charged with working with this bipartisan group of senators on the committee to stabilize insurance markets right now and keep premiums from spiking even higher, which is what would happen under this Graham Cassidy proposal. And it will happen if we don't attend to the challenges that we currently have in the insurance markets, an instability caused in large part by the president's attempt to sabotage the insurance market by refusing, for instance, to pay something called cost-sharing reductions, mm-hmm. which are really ways that help families afford things like out-of-pocket expenses or deductibles in their insurance policies on the exchange. So I will continue to focus on stabilizing the current situation, because it is creating so much uncertainty that we're seeing proposed insurance hikes that will really hurt people's pocketbooks even more and make healthcare less accessible. And I'll continue to focus on that, trying to stabilize the market. I'll continue to encourage the administration to stop trying to sabotage it, both by being unclear about cost-sharing reductions, refusing to commit to making them. But the administration's also proposed cutting the budget for outreach for the Affordable Care Act in critical ways, which further destabilizes the market. So that's just what I'm focused on right now, is making sure that we have a market that works for people and lowering costs for Americans so that they can afford health care and coverage.
Did you have any discussions at all with Governor Sununu about Graham Cassidy? Because he initially said that he liked it, and then I think started to delve into it a little bit more, and did not like it once he saw there was going to be a $1 billion hole blown into the budget 2020 to 2026 that he was going to have to absorb. Was there any conversation that took place? Have you been discussing health care with him?
Well, I was in New Hampshire over the weekend and yesterday, and certainly spoke out about the cost to New Hampshire of Graham Cassidy. I think it's really important whenever you are considering proposals, policies, to understand how they will actually work on the ground. We came together in New Hampshire and passed bipartisan Medicaid expansion, which has been critical for people getting health care, primary and preventive care for working people who couldn't afford it before, but also really critical to our heroin and opioid epidemic. And so I think it continues to be really important that we find ways to come together and invest in the kind of health care that helps all of our people, brings more competition to our insurance markets, lowers premiums. Graham Cassidy certainly doesn't do that, and I will work with members of both parties to protect health care for the Granite State.
Are you surprised that Senator Graham has gone in this direction? I mean, he's talked about working in a bipartisan fashion in the past. You know, he was in New Hampshire a lot. I think he stopped in one of our pints of politics once at the Barley House when he was in New Hampshire. And are you surprised that that the Republicans are continuing down this particular path instead of, you know, working with Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray?
Well, what we heard loudly and clearly in New Hampshire and across the country over the course of the spring and summer was that people wanted us to come together and improve the Affordable Care Act, lower health care costs, but that people value the fact that we eliminated the pre-existing condition problem in the Affordable Care Act. They value that the Affordable Care Act required that things like substance use disorder and behavioral health problems were covered now by insurance policies. They value the fact that there were no longer lifetime caps on what your insurance would cover. And they asked us to work together to stabilize the current market and then improve things. So I am very concerned that the Graham Cassidy effort really is taking on this kind of momentum. I think it goes completely contrary to what Americans from all walks of life have told us they want us to do. And I'm very concerned that it's a truly partisan exercise. And you heard members of our committee today. We had nomination hearings in HELP committee, but many of us spoke out at that committee hearing to ask our leadership to continue to work together and to defeat Graham Cassidy.
That's U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan joining us here inside the U.S. Capitol, New Hampshire now, down in Washington, D.C. John Huntsman was an individual who I would never expected to be in Donald Trump's cabinet, and he is the ambassador to Russia. He spoke on the Hill as well. He said there's no question that the Kremlin intervened in the U.S. election, which shouldn't really be news other than the fact that the president hasn't really acknowledged that to himself. The newest revelation in regards to Paul Manafort and a report that that Robert Mueller, the special counsel, is prepared to indict him. That there was wiretap and surveillance on Manafort for a long period of time, which is very different than what the president had said in regards to him being wiretapped. Regardless, but what is your takeaway from the Manafort potential indictment?
Look, it is very clear there's consensus in the American intelligence community that Russia interfered with our elections. I think it's absolutely essential that the investigation be fully independent and follow the facts wherever they lead. They need to dig into not only the level and degree of Russian interference, but whether there was any potential collusion between Russia and any of the president's associates. They need to investigate whether the president obstructed justice when he fired Director Comey. I think it's very important that Mr. Mueller be given full independence so he can just follow the facts wherever they lead, because this is a real Russia's interference with our elections is a real, real threat to our democracy, which I also think is something you heard from Ambassador Huntsman today, if I understand his testimony correctly. And it's very important that people have confidence in our election systems, and we should be focused on not only what the Russians did, but how we can strengthen our election systems throughout our country, especially the cyber security in electoral systems in our states and localities. That's how we should be proceeding, along with making sure that we're giving the investigators here, both Mr. Mueller's investigation, but our congressional investigations too, the full tools they need to get at the bottom of what happened.
Will you take Mueller's lead in regards to whatever punishment or a potential path we go on following his report, or are you prepared to do whatever you feel is appropriate in that particular instance?
Well, I think we all have to evaluate whatever conclusions Mr. Mueller comes to at the time, without knowing his finding of facts, without understanding the charges he may or may not bring against folks. It would be premature to make that comment. But I will say this: it is absolutely important that we protect the integrity of America's elections. That's literally what is at stake here. We are the world's greatest democracy. New Hampshire has always prided itself in our strong and secure election process, and it's absolutely critical that we do everything we can to keep Russia from interfering ever again, or any other foreign actor who would undermine our democracy in this way. And I'm very grateful to all of my colleagues who are investigating this. I'm particularly grateful to Senator Shaheen, too, for her work on the Kapersky issue, because we absolutely need to be taking all proactive steps we can to keep the Russians out of our election systems.
Now, of late, there's been a change in Donald Trump, in which, after seeming to want to govern from the right when he does want to govern, he has struck deals with Chuck and Nancy, as he calls them. And that has angered some on the right and has also angered some on the left, who do not want to see progressives or Democrats working in any way with Donald Trump and don't want to throw him a life raft. They just want to let him kind of sink on his own. What do you say to them, and what is your prerogative in regards to working with Trump?
I've always said that where the president puts forward proposals and is willing to be constructive that would help the people of New Hampshire and the people of the United States of America on critical issues, issues that are important to middle-class families and small businesses, that I would be willing to work with him. I think it's very important that we do whatever we can in a bipartisan way. But at the end of the day, my focus here in the Senate is the same as it's always been as governor, which is to support hardworking middle-class families and small businesses, and that's what I'll continue to focus on here. And if the president makes a proposal that would help us do that, I'm certainly open to that. But at the end of the day, this is about listening to our constituents and moving forward so that we can continue to grow an innovation-based economy, we can continue to support our businesses, our families, and develop the kind of workforce and innovation that will continue to allow New Hampshire and the United States of America to lead economically and as a force for good in the world.
Final thing, you've been here in Washington for a little over, well, about 8 months at this point. So do you feel that there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not Congress, the Senate, is an appropriate and forceful enough a third branch of government? Do you feel that that the Senate in particular is doing enough at this point for the American people? Because you've talked about what the last election meant, and for a lot of folks, they wanted to see action. They wanted to see things take place to benefit the middle class of this country, who's been screaming out for help. Is there an equality in regards to the three branches, or has Congress fallen behind?
Well, I'm incredibly honored to be representing the people of New Hampshire in the United States Senate. I've been honored and privileged to work on legislation that is directly focused on helping the people of New Hampshire, for instance, with things like the opioid crisis. One of my first bills, which is about labeling transparency, a bipartisan bill, has been signed into law that will make sure that doctors understand the addictive nature of certain kinds of opioids. I have worked to improve the processes for veterans, and that has been signed into law. There's other legislation we're moving forward with. But the thing that I have learned the most about since coming to Washington is that when the people of our state and our country speak up about what's important to them, when they reach out to their legislators, when they insist that we are accountable and focus on the issues that really make a difference to them, we are able to move forward. We saw that with the defeat of the repeal bill at the end of July. We need to see that same kind of activism and passion now. I'll continue to work across party lines, as I have on any number of pieces of legislation that really should help families and businesses in New Hampshire. But at the same time, people should know that we can always benefit from their voices, their stories, because that's what will move the ball forward.
Senator Hassan, as always, great to spend some time with you. Thanks for making some time in your busy schedule down here in D.C.
Thank you very much. It's great to talk with you today.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know. You will